You know, our world is full of divisiveness, but as Christians, we're called to love others and do our best to live at peace with everyone. So how do we do this in our divisive world? Today, we'll dive into this on this episode of Walking Worthy in the Workplace and Life. I'm Mary Lohman, and Lisa Bishop is with me today.
Hey, it's good to see you.
You know, today we're diving into a difficult topic. Yeah. I almost want to shy away from it.
I know.
But we have to address this because as Christians, we have to learn how to navigate in a really divisive world.
Yeah.
Because we are called to live at peace. And what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good question, but we see it, you know, Jesus was peace, and we're to be ambassadors of peace. And yeah, to your point, it's a lot more. It feels a lot more challenging these days.
It does feel challenging. I don't know why, but we feel like since I guess the beginning of the pandemic, particularly, we've seen a rapid decline, and we can attribute it to all kinds of things: electronic communication. People can be so rude electronically, which they would never do if they were face-to-face. Do you think that's true?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because you don't have to really take responsibility for your words.
Right.
It's almost, should I use the word cowardly, to blast and to fight back in an arena or on social media where you can really hide. I mean, would you say those things if someone were sitting in front of you? And maybe some people are like, yeah, I'm like, okay, well, we got a little bit more to talk about there.
And of course, as believers in Jesus Christ, we should have a different appearance on the internet that we do in person.
Yes.
It breaks my heart to see Christians going at it. Don't you agree?
It's embarrassing, actually.
Yeah,
it really is. And I think, wow, you know, as followers of Jesus, and we're human, right? But as followers of Jesus, my goal, God's will for my life is that I'm putting His glory on display and I'm living a life of holiness. Mm. And that is not just what I do with my body, that's what I say with my words. That's the verse that says, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so we have got to get our hearts positioned before God. You know, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we're going to agree with everyone, and we shouldn't. There are things that we, you know, God, He loves justice as well, but we can stand for justice. We can stand for the gospel and truth, and we can do it in a way that you attract more bees with honey. Someone said that, right? But we can do it in a loving, peacemaking way. We're called, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah, I think this is becoming more and more of a challenge for Christians in the workplace and other places as well, because there are so many things being put out today that we know are not biblical and that are very harmful, and we cannot agree with them, and we will not agree with them, but we just can't go into this world as fighters who are going to prove that we're right and they're wrong. It won't work that way.
Yeah, I think it's an attitude of heart. Because I can come across very confident, and I can come across, you know, I will not be moved off of the gospel. My attitude of heart is what matters. Am I going into this trying to drag you down, you know, trying to make you look bad? Or am I defending myself, or am I defending the gospel?
Yeah.
I think there's a difference there, too. And if I'm— does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And the other thing is, yeah, this thing about being a peacemaker. Trust me, last night I was at my mom's house, and we were watching something on television, and it had like a political nature to it. And I don't really like watching television. I think it's very provoking and not such a great way, and a lot of social media as well. And I just had to walk out of the room because I don't want to listen to things that are going to stir my irritation, my anger, and my peace. Because, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, as I said, the mouth speaks. So I want my heart to be in a, you know, a peace-filled position, and not in an irritated, impatient, and cranked up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah.
And it's just constantly being aware of it and intentional and praying about it. I mean, you just need to start your day praying, God, whoever I'm interacting with today, help me to see them as the person you created.
Yeah.
Not everyone is God's child, but everyone is made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And they deserve being treated with dignity and respect.
Yeah.
Even though their beliefs are weird in our mind, right? Are wrong in our mind.
Right, right.
I think that's what's so hard for me is I know that what they're believing is so harmful, not only wrong, but it's harmful to them and others. And yet I have to realize they don't see it that way.
Yeah.
They just don't. And I have to respect their beliefs, even though they're wrong. Yeah. And that's hard to do when you're very strong in what you believe, right?
Well, it is. And it's, you know, love those that we think are unlovable.
Yeah.
Love your enemy.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't agree with your enemy. Love and agreeing are not, I think we've merged those two these days too. In order to love me, you must agree with me. No, that is actually not an equation. But we do need to love people. We need to, you know, love people that, as you said too, their eyes are darkened.
Yes.
And God's word even says, you know, be prepared to give an account for what you believe. He also says, be grace-filled when you do it as well.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned, you know, going back to, you know, as Christians, can I just say, if we are right now, if you're aware that you have been operating out of anger, irritation, impatience, frustration, repent, confess and repent.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm not, hey, we're all, you know. And ask the Holy Spirit to really transform your heart. Because what does Jesus say? Love one another as I have loved you. What is the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as the Lord loves us. And so, and again, love is not agreeing, but love is patient.
Yeah.
Love is kind.
Yeah.
Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-serving.
Yeah.
So, you know, we really need to also realize and embrace and allow the Holy Spirit that lives in each of us to counsel us, to advise us, because he's our counselor and advisor, and to help form our words.
Words are so powerful. The Bible says it. They have the power of life and death.
Yeah.
And they have it when we speak them or when we write them.
Mm-hmm.
They still have power.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of our communication in writing these days more than speaking, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And we just need to recognize that our words must be full of grace, seasoned with salt, the Bible says, easy to hear. Doesn't mean you give in or you compromise in any way. You just realize this person you're talking to, if they don't know Jesus, think of how twisted you would be if you didn't know Jesus.
Right, right.
Think of where you would be if you didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have good understanding. You wouldn't know truth. So see them through God's eyes. And then sometimes the best thing we can do is not say what we're thinking. Learn to restrain ourselves, you know?
Yeah, there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have to say everything we think. I often remind myself, you don't have to say everything it's in your head. So let some of it go. You don't have to argue every point, make your point every time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to choose, pick and choose your fights, right?
Yeah, that's wisdom. That's discernment. You know, we are called to hold our tongue in situations. So I agree with that. And then, you know, if we're thinking, well, how do I have a conversation with someone who disagrees with me? I would just say, hey, first of all, invite people into your life who actually do disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we tend to surround ourselves, and I think we need to surround ourselves with like-minded people 100%. And we also need to know how to be in spaces where there's going to be disagreement, not divisiveness. But if you're in a relationship right now and maybe it's broken or there's been a division, I would just ask the Lord to seek your heart and even approach that person and say, hey, you know what? I just want to apologize for the way I do feel very strongly about things, and I think it's really impacted our relationship. I know we see things differently, and I'd love to be and create a space where we can dialogue about these things and lean into and learn from one another. And your relationship is really important to me.
Yeah, that would make a big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, to start. I remember a friend of mine who told me the story that where she worked, they hired a new person who was just everything she wasn't. Mm-hmm. The way she dressed, the way she lived, her lifestyle, her talk, everything was just the opposite of my friend, you know?
Boy.
And the first reaction is, I don't want to have anything to do with her. Mm-hmm. But because they worked together, they started to develop this relationship where they actually talked to each other. And she said, Mary, I really like her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she saw in her the good things, and she didn't let the exterior completely freak her out.
Yeah.
You know, if we would just more often just say, okay, doesn't look like me, doesn't believe like me, doesn't talk like me, but I want to get to know her or him and see. Mm-hmm. That would make a difference.
Yeah, I'm like laughing on the inside because there's at least a couple of my good friends who at first, they were either like, no way I want to be friends with her, or I was like, no way I want to be friends with her. And God has a funny way of working.
Yeah.
But we do have to, you know, respect people, and we do have to, as you said, be at peace with each other as well.
Yeah. I often sometimes think, oh, we're in a world that's so much worse than it's ever been, and we're just living in this awful time, and all these horrible things are happening. You know, you can get focused on it, and then I stop, and I read mm-hmm. in the Old Testament what things were like back then, and I say, no, it's always been evil. It's always been bad. This
yeah.
is a sin-cursed world, and we're in this world at this time at God's decision
mm-hmm.
for such a time as this.
Yeah.
And he is still on the throne.
He is, and we have to remember that he's on yeah. the throne, and we have to also remember that, you know, we are warned that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Mm-hmm.
And that could look like us wanting to devour other people, you know, with our words and mm-hmm. with our actions. So just don't give the devil a foothold.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't let him in the door.
No, because you know what? Relationships are just the entry point for the enemy to do this, to cause this level of division. And, you know, I'm just even thinking, especially in the last 2 to 3 years where – you know, isolation has become more yeah. and more of a thing. When we isolate, when we hide behind social mm-hmm. media, we don't come face to face with people's true humanity. Mm-hmm. But when we do come face to face with people's humanity, I mean literally face to face, sitting in the same
mm-hmm.
room,
mm-hmm.
something shifts. It's so much easier to be critical and mm-hmm. negative and divisive with someone that is not sitting in front of you. But when we get to know someone again and we see their humanity, we see their dignity, we find even points we might even connect on. It's not all about what we disagree on.
Hmm.
But I think we need to, you know, if we find ourselves isolating, get out, be in relationship, do life together with other people. And there's just something that happens in that space.
Yeah. I really think we have a wonderful opportunity, all of us, especially in our workplaces, to shine a light in this dark world. Mm. Because things have gotten so uncivil and divisive, any act of kindness, any love you show is going to really be noticed, right? I mean,
yeah.
it can really make a difference. And it can be contagious. It won't change everybody, but God puts you where you are for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody in your life by accident. And what a wonderful opportunity, if we can see it that way. We have the opportunity to show the world that Jesus makes a difference in this divisive, hostile, crazy world we live in.
Yeah, because someone might say, hey, Mary, wow, like you, how did you have such restraint in that conversation that was so heated and was so divisive?
Mm.
And then you get to give an answer for what you believe. And you get to say, you know, it's my faith in Jesus. And here's the other thing, and I know this is super important at the Christian Working Woman, is that we, being in the Word,
yeah,
we can't repeat that enough.
Mm-mm.
Because God's Word has the power to transform. It does.
It does
not return empty.
No.
And so if we are being more discipled by the world and not the Word, then divisiveness is just, it's going to be at the top of the rank for us
yeah.
rather than peace. So we really need to be daily sitting at the feet of Jesus and immersing herself, dwelling on his word, meditating on his word, because it transforms us. It transforms and might be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what am I putting in my mind that's causing this anxiety and this fighting and this divisiveness? Put the word of God in our minds. And are we going to live perfectly? No, but we will see our lives transformed. We'll see spiritual maturity, spiritual fruit, and spiritual maturity. Part of that is what we're saying now, is how to love one another, how to be peaceful.
You're so right. And, you know, I did a class at my church recently on spiritual disciplines of reading your Bible and prayer. And I go to a good church. I go to a church that's preached the gospel for hundreds of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've had good teaching. I asked this class of about 200 people, how many of you have a plan and you read your Bible every day?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't count numbers, but I'll tell you, it was way less than 50%.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I guess I thought my church would be different, you know?
Sure.
Hey, we teach the Bible all the time here. But for some people, that's the only time they open their Bibles is when they go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't change that, nothing else is going to change.
It's true. And we're not going to be any different because we're not consuming the power of.
Right. We don't have the resources to do it.
Right.
If we're not dwelling in the Word and praying. We go out to face the enemy totally unprepared, and he just walks right in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this isn't like a – this is hopefully an encouragement for anyone who is not in the Word of God to just open it up and say, you know what, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Holy Spirit, like, use your Word to transform my heart and mind and make me more like you.
And it's the greatest privilege in the world
we have.
Instead, we think of it as a job or something. I don't know. The devil has really gotten in there and changed our thinking. But we have the power, because of the Holy Spirit, to make a difference in a divisive world.
Yes, we do.
And we need to see it as a privilege.
Amen.
And a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And not bemoan it all the time.
It's a get to. It's not a have to.
I like that. It's a get to, not a have to. Well, I hope this has been helpful. It's been great to spend time with you again, Lisa, and talk about issues that can be kind of tricky.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that this has been a blessing and encouragement as we seek to walk worthy in the workplace and life.